news I gained just yesterday dismayed all that I learned. The emptiness of life examined.
Well, hello out there, and welcome to another episode of Things I Learned While Learning Other Things. This is an attempt by me, Joe Morahan, and my brother J.S. to provide you with a series of interesting, informative, educational, and yeah, we hope enjoyable stories that will help you navigate through those high seas of life. Today we introduce part 8 of Donkey Do, What Donkeys Do. You'll remember we're discussing Bridget Bardot, a donkey named Charlie, Mr. Manavet, a naive Frenchman, a gardener, and the castration of the donkey Charlie. And let me begin by pointing out maybe three preliminary thoughts. Number one, a medieval pope once said, the idea of justice is simply the advantage of the stronger. Henry Kissinger once said, you cannot get at the bargaining table what you can't win on the battlefield. And never forget Stalin's response to an idea that Churchill had that maybe they ought to inquire as to what the Pope's opinion was. And Stalin's response was, yeah, well, how many divisions does the Pope have? So we're talking French justice here. So we continue. Mr. Manavet, the plaintiff, he never knew, as was the case in Yellowstone, whenever Rip suggested to some hapless loser it was time for Rip to take him to the train station, what awful fate actually awaited him. And Mr. Manavet should have known something was up when he filed a lawsuit against Bridget Bardot. Mr. Manavet had of his own free will decided to take on mano a mano a French icon, one of the all-time hotties in world history, a sex kitten herself, now turned raving animal rights ethicist lunatic in the courts of France in search of justice. Oh, Mr. Manavet, were you nuts? Animals matter, but not yours, of course, Mr. Manavet. Male donkeys and white males? Come on, Mr. Manavet, what are you, stupid or something, as my mom would say? What could be of lower legal standing than you and Charlie? Now, Miss Bardot had admitted to the media to having had over the years 17 relationships with men. Men, they come, men, they go, men come and go. You see the pattern, don't you? Men come, men go. Who knows how many men Bridget Bardot had actually slept with during her long life, and who knows just what the meaning Miss Bardot attributes to the term relationships. It could well mean, well, it could mean anything, even resembling that meaning that Ronnie Woods of the Rolling Stones once stated about his intimate relationship with Margaret Trudeau, wife of the then PM of Canada. That Ronnie saying that even though the relationship had lasted mere moments, while it lasted, it had been very special. Okay. And when things pissed off Miss Bardot, she was prone to go take decisive, dramatic action. Males come, males go. And that's what Bridget Bardot told the press had happened throughout her life. Then think about what that might mean in, you know, to Bridget Bardot. What in her mind, what was she thinking about poor Charlie? Wow. It wasn't going to be good. You know, John Steinbeck once wrote a book called Travels with Charlie. Now, he passed this off as a true adventure story, but it was proven pure bullshit. And I knew it from the moment I read the book. It was all fake, made up stuff, complete fiction, just truthiness. It's what might have happened had he actually traveled with Charlie, but he didn't. It didn't actually happen. You know, this was an early version, you know, 5 decades previously of Clintonian-like truthiness. You know, stuff like Hillary as Secretary of State coming under hostile fire. No, she hadn't. You know, then claiming her father had named her after the famous New Zealand mountain climber Sir Edmund Hillary. Well, no, he hadn't, actually. Truthiness, it might have been true. It could have been true, but actually, it wasn't true. Not at all. That's truthiness. We used to call it lying. Now, in these woke times, it's called truthiness. We live with that. Who are we to judge something a lie? How are we calling someone a liar? What gives us that authority? Who gives us that permission? But what happened after Mr. Manavet and his beloved donkey, Charlie, met up with one self-righteous, hypocritical, sex goddess, animal rights ethicist, and French icon? Well, what happened is nothing less than a true nightmare. A true nightmare. We're not talking about a fine distinction like, you know, like a Clintonian. Well, it depends on what the definition of is. No, we're talking about the real deal here. Charlie had been deprived of his balls by garden shear, by a gardener. It's not debatable. You know, there's no fine line here. Like Bardot, you know, Hillary might have been thinking during the Monica Lewinsky affair, where's a good pair, actually a rusty pair of garden hedge clippers that might even be better when you really do need them? Where are they? But all she was reported as doing was, you know, throwing around an ashtray. But on the property outside of Saint-Tropez, when offended by the sexual behavior of a male, albeit a donkey, Miss Bardot took decisive action. There was no throttling her. Charlie was doomed right from the get-go, as Bill Clinton was not. No thrown ashtrays in hotel rooms would suffice. A call for the garden shears was necessary. So when a traumatized Mr. Manavet took to the courts for some satisfaction, as Mick Jagger might say, post-Charlie's castration, the awful deed done while Mr. Manavet had been out of town on business, at a minimum, he believed the French courts, too, would find Brigitte Bardot's actions and her defense of those actions beyond unreasonable, that they had been the actions of a heartless, crazed lunatic passing herself off as an animal rights welfare enthusiast. Come on. He had no idea, Mr. Manavet, what he was running straight into, and what he was running straight into was the jaws of a sharpened French legal buzzsaw. Forget the garden clippers that so wounded Charlie. This was the sharp edge of French law he was coming up against. He's lucky Bardot didn't leave court with his balls in her purse, too. No doubt, Mr. Manavet was as stunned at the outcome of the trial as had been Charlie when Miss Bardot called for the gardener that brought Charlie's sexual escapades to an abrupt end permanently. The legal ride on which the poor Mr. Manavet was thrashed about took 3 years of his life before its final resolution was reached in court. And this was not a Dickens-like Jarndyce versus Jarndyce or nearly the length of time the estate of Jimi Hendrix has been fought in the courts in dispute for more than 50 years now and likely to go on for at least another 50 years given its size. But still, Mr. Manavet fought it out with Brigitte Bardot in French courts for 3 years. And the French court finally came to a resolution. Charlie's castration was to be ignored by the court. Period, the end. What did it matter? And what didn't matter in the little minds of the French magistrates was not that Miss Bardot had ordered another man's donkey castrated by garden shear without Charlie or Mr. Manavet's permission while he was out of town on the business trip. And Miss Bardot had previously agreed to care for Charlie while Mr. Manavet was gone. None of that mattered to the French court. No, what mattered to the French court were not Charlie's balls. What mattered to the French court was that Mr. Manavet had demonstrated some nerve. Actually, he had some gonads to sue a French national treasure, a former nude Playboy model, a woman whom in the minds of people, authorities all over the world, had adjudged to be among the hottest babes of all time. That was what's important to the French court about this case. A top 10 beauty by all accounts and a known animal rights ethicist activist. That's who Mr. Banovet was messing with here. He must have been nuts. With all that going for her, forget Charlie had been deballed. How dare, and this is what the court said, how dare Mr. Banovet defame Brigitte Bardot? He had created a false notoriety on a French legend, which could not be tolerated. He had no legal right to do that. The French court ruled, and Mr. Banovet must suffer for the error of his ways. I mean, this is kind of like a medieval trial by combat of a sort. And Mr. Banovet, the man must pay. He must pay a fine for dragging Miss Bardot through the mud. Forget the garden shears, the commitment, the promise made by Brigitte Bardot to watch over and protect Charlie while Mr. Banovet traveled on business. Hey, pal, enough already. Stop bringing up she had Charlie's balls cut off. It doesn't matter. Not a matter of French law. Mr. Banovet, you have caused a false scandal as defined by French law. You keep claiming you and Charlie are the victims, but you are wrong, asshole. Miss Bardot is the only victim in this case. And we know you are struggling with this issue, but you are in error. You are mistaken. You are at legal peril, and you're going to pay for your mistakes. Merely attempting to ruin Brigitte Bardot's good name by bringing this lawsuit is going to cost you, Monsieur. You're going to pay for your crime. You are hereby ordered by French court order to pay 20,000 francs as recompense for the harm you have caused Miss Barnot. Forget the donkey. You, Mr. Banovet, are the ass. Oh, this finding was Kafkaesque in nature. This was Joseph K. not having a clue as to what the fuck was going on in court. I mean, what is the law? How could this be the law? This made no sense. And by the way, it ain't over yet. As Yogi Berra said, it ain't over till it's over. It's not over. And for the harm that he had caused Miss Bardot, he must pay that $20,000 franc fine. And he has to get out his checkbook right now. Oh, and this is so sweet. And make that check payable directly to the Brigitte Bardot Foundation for the Welfare and Protection of Animals Fund that she had established years ago. A cause to which she had been committed for years. Oh, this was worse than anything even Dostoevsky could have conceived or imagined when he struggled through writing, Crime and Punishment post all his time spent in the gulag. This was crazy. Now, there may not have been heard the snap of a, hedge clippers in that French courthouse that morning when the verdict was announced, but it had to have been at least a severe kick in the nuts to Mr. Banovet. Yes, yes, sir. Charlie, 3 years previously, having been unceremoniously deprived of his nuts, probably didn't react to the verdict with a pain equating that demonstrated by the distraught and shocked Mr. Banovet. But I will assert that the human instinct for self-preservation found in all males did make Mr. Banovet's nuts retreat into his body for safety purposes. How could they not? How could they not? Well, the smoke on this case has long cleared. Charlie is long gone, as is Jean-Pierre Banovet. But Brigitte Bardot rolls along age 89, still caring about the well-being of all animals. being a committed animal ethicist, activist, and all that. Now, British common law, has long served as the legal keystone, the foundation by which members of society interact with each other peaceably. Common law lives on, though under attack in the USA, but the concept of reasonableness, ordinary men, ordinary behavior, reasonable behavior, freedom to act, but with a duty not to injure others or their property, rolls along. Reasonable behavior is not actionable under the law. Unreasonable behavior makes one liable to others injured by one's unreasonable behavior. And all this seems to make sense. And this concept has served Western civilization very well for nearly a millennia now. The basis, the underpinning of most Western law. But the question remains, how does one possibly build an equitable society in a jurisdiction in which such a legal outcome as was rendered in Manavet versus Bardot, the law? The answer is, well, you cannot. But that is why it is often heard, oh, those wacky French. Yet there is more, I need to add this on a personal basis, on behalf of all males, perhaps all males of any species, I offer this final thought, the choral reflex. The choral reflex. Choral manifests itself most frequently in fragile, deprived, and stressed societies where it is endemic among young, unmarried males. Choral communicates acute anxiety accompanied by the reflexive withdrawal of the genitalia. The testicles contract and the penis disappears. Social anthropologists define primary choral as the reflexive contraction of genitalia in response to fear. Secondary choral is a similar physical response to low temperature. It's not a matter we need to discuss here. the famous Seinfeld shrinkage episode notwithstanding. In any event, there should be little mystery around choral. It can happen to all of us. Usually, we simply do not notice. And our great family, you know, our family of great apes would not have survived without the choral reflex, the capability of tucking away our external reproductive organs whenever danger threatens. The vital testicles hang in their, you know, their cooled radiator, the scrotum, and they are quite obviously exposed and vulnerable. The same autonomic muscles which haul the temperature critical testicles up and down, you know, quickly respond to fear and anxiety, drawing them up to be in close proximity to the, you know, the relative safety offered by muscle, bone, and fat. In a high percentage of males, the testicles can disappear from the scrotum into pouches in the groins formed by the lower end of the inguinal canals. Yet, as was seen in the case of Charlie, if one doesn't recognize a threatening situation exists, such as not understanding the danger one is in when in proximity to Brigitte Bardot, whom places, you know, one at high risk, the choral reflex can't kick in. And well, then, one's balls remain very much in play. Poor, poor Charlie. And thanks for listening. Goodbye.
Slip from the harbor, head out to the sea. crystal blue water surrounding me. Tap to the wind, taste the sea breeze. Tropical heaven on the coral sea. A little more rum, I think of my wife. What did I do? Have I ruined my life? Tell her I've changed, become a new man. I promise I will, and I know that I can. When did the skies change? When did they turn black? How am I ever gonna get myself back? The sea's now boiling and I'm getting cold. I've lost my sails, got to find a way home. Alone in my boat, I think of my wife. I'm lost in a drift on the high seas of life. Years from tomorrow, days from the land. Nothing can save me unless fate lends a hand. Storm, it is worse than I know. The wind and the waves are taking their toll. I look to the stars, there's none I can see. I'm afraid fate, she has answered me. Only moments my story will end. And there was a story I wanted to send. Oh, how I dream for the calm of the sea. Face smiling back at me. The sea is boiling and I'm getting cold. I've lost my sails, got to find a way home. When did the skies change? When did they turn black? How am I ever gonna get myself back? Alone in my boat, I think of my wife. I'm lost in a drift on the high seas of life. When did the skies change? When did they turn black? How am I ever gonna get myself back? Alone in my boat, I think of my wife. I'm lost in a drift on